Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here this morning, and I think at this point I simply hand over to George.
Good morning, everybody. It's a lovely day today. It's not raining anywhere, that's good. A wee bit windy. I have to read out the intimations. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitors' books. Parish newsletter. We have just released our June parish newsletter. If you live in the village of Cairnhill or you stay in Crossford and are on our contact list, your copy will be delivered to your home. If neither applies, please take a copy from the vestibule or download it from the church website, as the primary purpose of the newsletter is outreach to the parish. We are not incurring posting costs on this occasion. That's good as being the treasurer. No Zoom presentations in July. Apologies, but we will not be able to provide Zoom services during any of the Sundays in July. Audio recordings will be available via the website. Kirk Session. There will be a special meeting at Kirk Session on Tuesday, 1st of August at 7 p.m. and a further meeting on week commencing the 13th of August may follow. Cycling Club. The Cycling C4 will be at next outings on the 19th of August at the 4th Road Bridge. More information from Derek on 882190. The Walking Group. The next church walking group is the 3rd of September in the Falkirk Wheel area. Meet in the Cairnhill Parish Church at 2 o'clock as usual. Oh, this was my wee addition. Sorry about this, Derek. National Thank You Day today. Over the past 2 years, 15 million people have taken part in this chance to say thank you for everyone and everything that makes our communities great places to live in and to get connected with the people they live alongside all year round. For your information and to hear Tony, for further information rather, and to hear Tony Christie's Thank You Day song, go to thankyouday.org.uk. Now, as being part of Thank You Day, as treasurer of this church, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all our members and friends of Cairnhill Parish Church for your continued support financially of our church. Without it, we would not be sitting here. Intimations, a summer intimation sheet will be available today with a weekly version resuming on the 20th of August. And finally, here's a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Thank you, George. And perhaps I should say that I will be absent for the next 3 Sundays, and the worship group will be looking after things while I'm away. And if you have a pastoral emergency, Alistair has volunteered? Something like that. So that's the plans. Thank you, George. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 470, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer. We present before you our gifts of time, talent, and money, seeking your blessing upon our giving and our gifts in their use. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious and loving Father, creator and sustainer of life, almighty and eternal, we bow in worship before you. We praise your holy name and rejoice that we can gather here in your presence. Here in worship, we look to Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, giving thanks for his life, that he came to this earth and is flesh of our flesh. We praise Jesus as the eternal Son of God in his heavenly glory. And so we rejoice in the one who understands our human frailty and who speaks for us before the throne of God the Father. We remember and take comfort in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we are enabled to live and know that we belong to God, that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Here in worship, we are aware of your many blessings. You pour out upon us blessings beyond number. As we gather here in worship, we are aware of our human frailty. We do not claim a right or a righteousness. In the light of your presence, we are aware of our sin. We know that we have failed. But you are a forgiving and loving God. We recognize our need of your healing. We recognize our need to be forgiven. And so we take a quiet moment to confess our sin before you. We thank you that you have heard our confession and that in your mercy you forgive. Our sin is no more, our guilt is taken to the cross. By the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, guide us as we go forward from this moment so that we may live and serve you in the world. It is in Jesus' name that we offer our praise and our prayer. And in the words of Jesus, hear us now as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Hymn 189. Be still for the presence of the Lord.
Oh,
A number of years ago, I was a guest at a wedding being conducted by a civil celebrant. The individual concerned was very careful to tell us that they belonged to the Humanist Society, and as such, the ceremony would have no religious component. The ceremony would be entirely secular. In the course of that wedding ceremony, the celebrant several times said that they were about to use words from our tradition, from our Celtic background, from our history. And I had a special smile to myself, because the words being used came, yes, from that Celtic tradition, but they came from people who understood the sacred in almost everything. One of the marks of Celtic Christianity was that the sacred was in the world around us. The blessing of God came from creation itself. They saw the holy in every part of life. In other words, having said there would be no religious component, this individual proceeded to ask God's blessing on the couple being married. And they did it several times through the marriage ceremony. Much to my amusement, they blessed that couple in the name of God. And you'll be pleased to know that I managed not to go up to them at the end of the service and tell them what they'd been doing, because I wouldn't have wanted them to remove that component. On the subject of blessings, many years ago I was listening, or I was attending a series of lectures on worship. The speaker spoke on many different aspects. There were things like music and singing, about prayer and the choice of Bible passages, all the kind of things you would expect. There was good advice on talks and sermons. And added to this was other things that you could use in worship, maybe things I'm not so good at and maybe not quite so comfortable with, things like poetry, drama and dance. And I've got to say, I have never introduced dance into a service of worship. I am not a natural dancer. And you maybe wouldn't want to see me dancing in worship. But one of the big surprises was the emphasis that was placed on one bit in worship that I think I was guilty of letting just kind of go by. The speaker said that the most important part of worship was the blessing, the benediction, at the end of a service. I suspect I've been guilty of thinking that the benediction or the blessing was merely a way of saying that the service had ended. In practice, free to go, talk to our neighbour, go for coffee or find the person we need to speak to. Maybe more positively, go and find that person we recognised as a visitor in worship. What was said is that this was a very important part of worship, that those words of blessing were vital. And that the most important thing that a leader in worship does is ask for God's blessing for those in worship. And us as a congregation, the most important thing we do is declare that we are going with God's blessing as we say or sing Amen. Yes, it is the conclusion of worship. But having worshipped God, we leave with God's blessing. Many words of parting have their roots in words of blessing. So although I've talked about that person who put in God's blessing without knowing it, we pronounce God's blessing sometimes without knowing it. Some people will say God bless as they part from friends or family. But how many of us remember that the origin, the etymology of the word goodbye is God bless you? When we say goodbye, we are asking God's blessing upon the person that we've been speaking to. When we talk of God's blessing, we need to remember the grace and mercy of God, the generosity, the overflowing, joyous giving of God. When we think of receiving blessing, we need to remember that this is not something we either earn or deserve. In our two readings today, they may not both seem to be about blessing. The first one certainly is. Psalm 145 talking about God being gracious in what he gives to us. But the second reading is also about blessing. And there Jesus is having to correct his disciples because they are looking for that blessing of being important and they've got things wrong. And Jesus is correcting them. This is how you receive the blessings of God. And so we're going to read those two passages now. Alison is going to read to us from Psalm 145 and from Mark's Gospel.
So this morning's readings are Psalm 145, verses 8 to 21. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And the reading from the New Testament today is Mark 9, verses 33 to 37. Who is the greatest? Jesus and his disciples came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Amen. God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn 562, Through the Love of God our Saviour.
Through
Last weekend, on the Saturday evening, Karen and I went to see the Limelight production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I realised that though I knew about this musical, this was the first time I'd actually gone to see it. It was an enjoyable evening. The skill and energy of that young cast was quite something. But me being me, I was also aware of where Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber had diverged from the story in Genesis. I've just got that kind of mind. In many ways, the story of Joseph is the introduction to the story of Moses and the Exodus. The story of Joseph sets the scene for the family of Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, becoming a people or nation. The story of Moses and the Exodus is central to the Jewish faith. The books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy tell us the story of the Exodus in different forms and with different emphases. This story is a defining event that creates Israel as a nation and Judaism as a faith. Moses and the Exodus are as defining to Judaism as the Gospels are in defining Christianity. And of course, we should remember that Christianity has its roots in Judaism. We recognise the Old Testament and the New Testament as our scriptures, as the Word of God for us as Christian people. A great many of Jesus' words come straight from the Old Testament. Many of our favourite Bible passages come from the Old Testament. It would be difficult to imagine not having something like the 23rd Psalm, knowing God as our shepherd. Or Psalm 121 that tells us that the Lord, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Or Psalm 139, reminding us that God is both everywhere and knows us intimately. We enjoy and learn from the stories about the people of God. People like Joseph and that coat or robe that has caused so much anguish. Over the years, a number of folk have asked for a very specific blessing to be said. It is said and sung on many occasions. It forms part of our formal patterns of worship. It is chosen as a much-loved declaration of God's blessing. Many people ask without knowing the origin of the words, sometimes not even knowing that the words come from the Bible. Sometimes people are surprised when I describe this blessing as being some of the most ancient words that we use. Words that go back to Moses and Aaron at the time of the Exodus. In the book of Numbers, we find a passage where Moses is commanded by God to tell Aaron and his sons that this is how they are to bless the people. It's up there on screen, but there is an error. I hit the number 7 instead of the number 6. So it's actually in Numbers chapter 6, not Numbers chapter 7. That's the mistake of the day. And the words are, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. It is thought that the Exodus took place sometime between the 16th and 14th centuries BC. Scholars and historians and theologians are not entirely sure just when the Exodus took place. But what we can say is that for something like 3,500 years, people have been blessed with these words. They are used in the baptismal service, in the wedding service, in many of the formal services in church life. They are requested by people at other times and when planning special services. When we ask God to bless, that request is of God who longs to bless us. God is not reluctant in his blessing. In Psalm 145, we read about God being gracious, righteous, generous, and giving, that our God is compassionate. The psalmist tells us that God is rich in love. And of course, from the New Testament, from the first letter of John, we are told that God is love. Love is almost a definition of God. It is central to his being. Our gracious and loving God longs to bless us. In Jesus, we have the physical embodiment of the love of God. Jesus not only tells us about that love, but lives it. This is the love that conquers sin and defeats death. And so in our New Testament reading, we have a story that is at heart something to do with blessing. But it comes from the mistake of the disciples. They're not very keen to tell Jesus what they've been discussing on the road. What they've been arguing over is who is the greatest. And I suspect it's because one of them thought they were better than the others. This is a story that is repeated a number of times in the Gospels. It's not a unique moment. The disciples go back to this error time and again. This is not a unique moment when Jesus has to remind them of their humility before God. One of the most visual times, of course, was when the disciples were in that upper room and nobody wanted to wash the other's feet. The washing of feet belonged to a slave in the household, the lowest of the servants of that household, or the least of that household, whoever that happened to be. And none of the disciples were willing to do it. So Jesus put a towel round his waist and washed his disciples' feet. Here, of course, he tells the disciples that if they want to be first, then the way to do that is to be the last. If you want to be the greatest, you have to be the servant of all. And to make his point, Jesus takes a child. And in that time, a child had no status. And Jesus says to welcome the child is to honour God. By honouring the least of people, we honour Jesus. And to emphasise the point, he makes it clear that this honour isn't about him, but is about Almighty God. But when we think that we're something, we exclude ourselves from the blessing that God wants to pour upon us. When we show humility, we receive blessing. Because this is how we honour God. We are called to be childlike in our faith and trust of God. We are called to look at the other as bearing the likeness of God. Pride prevents blessing. Humility opens us to the blessing of God. And it is only in humility and receiving God's blessing that we can go and be a blessing to others. And of course, our pattern for living is Jesus himself, who said that he came to serve, not to be served. That he lived out what he said. And so in our humanity, no matter who the other is, we look at the other as the image of God. And no matter who we think we are, under God, we simply be ourselves and know ourselves in our frailty. And so we receive blessing so that we can be a blessing. Jesus calls upon us to be those who live out the love of God, who take the role of servant, and whose faith and trust is not in who we think we are or in human pride, but in who God says that we are. Amen. And now, thinking about God who longs to bless his people, God who longs to bless all people, we offer our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, hear us now as we take a moment to pray for this world of which we are part, this nation of which we are citizens, of this community where we belong. We think of those whose need is personal to us, for neighbours, for friends, for family. And we also remember our own personal needs. Every day, it seems, we look out at a world that hurts more and more. We think of what we are seeing and hearing from France. We think of what is taking place in Ukraine and in Russia, a conflict affecting so many nations across the world. We think of the many other conflicts, those that are in the news and those that simply go on and on. And those individual acts of violence in so many nations across our world, including our own. Almighty God, as we think of the heart of humanity, we ask you to strengthen and bless the peacemakers, to be with those who refuse to hate, those who promote peace. We think of a world where people suffer because of natural disaster and because of the difficulties of climate and weather. We think of aid agencies and those who support their work by their giving. We remember our responsibility not just for those who are close to us, but for this world of which we are part. Almighty God, give us greater care for the peoples and nations of this earth. Give us greater care for nature and for the resources of this world. Remind us that we are your people and this is your creation. We think of the responsibilities that lie upon those in government. We think of our responsibility as humanity, to care, to share, to look to this world as part of your blessing to us. We pray for our own nation, knowing that these are difficult and challenging times. We ask you to guide those who have power and influence within our nation, to guide our leaders, to give courage to choose and to do what is right. We think of what we hear in the news about this nation. We are grateful that energy prices seem to be dropping but we are fearful because interest rates are rising. So easy to see these numbers as mere statistics and forget how ordinary people are affected, and so often the poorest of our land. In this first weekend of school holidays, we remember those who are involved in education, staff and pupils, organisers and education authorities. We pray that these weeks ahead may be a good time, and so those who return to education are refreshed and ready for a new term and a new year. But we also remember that summer can be difficult for the poorest of our families and bring financial stress. So we remember and think of those in need. But we also remember those who will travel to many different places in these weeks ahead. We pray for safety in travel and for rest and renewal. We pray for the church. Across our world, places where Christian people are persecuted. Across our world, places where the church is struggling. Across our world, places where the church is growing and vibrant. Almighty God, keep us faithful to your promises, filled with your blessing, so that we may be a blessing to people around us. And now a moment of quiet for our private and personal prayer. We offer our prayers and requests in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our closing praise, hymn number 396, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And now, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.